Recorded Books and RB Digital present Refraction by Naomi Hughes, narrated by Christopher Carley. Chapter 1. The cops start tailing me on Banyan Lane. I should be worried about the contraband sewn into the bill of my baseball cap, but all I can think about is whether or not I remembered to lock my loft before I left this morning. Marty Callahan! Calls one of the officers in an easy voice, like I'm an old friend he's spotted at a party. But his eyes are trained on me like I'm a dangerous animal, and whatever Cisco Island is nowadays, it's definitely no party. I give the cops a faux surprised grin and a middle finger wave, carefully measuring the amount of disrespect in the gesture, enough to seem normal for me, but not enough to piss them off more than necessary. Then speed up a little. I did lock the loft. I'm sure of it. I can almost hear the way that final, biggest deadbolt clunked heavily when I slid it into place. Can almost feel how the rusted padlock flaked in my hand when I pulled the key out. But the need to go back and check just in case tugs at me anyway, even though I should be way more worried about the two jokers behind me.
We're talking to you, Callahan, says another voice.
It's the other officer, the younger one. He sounds a lot less casual than his partner, which probably means he intends to stop me, pat me down, do a random search for the dangerous illegal goods they suspect, but haven't yet managed to prove, I sell. Any other day, that would be no problem for me. I haven't moved any goods in weeks. But today, the desperation got a little too strong, and I managed to convince myself the heat had died down enough for me to venture back out. A decision I'm cursing myself for now. There's a small crowd ahead of me, weaving in and out of the early afternoon shadows cast by the gnarled trees that line this street. The islanders must be headed to the ration dispensary for a weekly distribution. Maybe I can merge with them, buy myself some time while I figure out an escape route. I step off the sidewalk and onto the cracked asphalt of the road.
Told you he'd rabbit, mutters the younger officer to his partner.
They're a bit closer now, near enough for me to hear the viciousness in his voice. He wants me to run. He wants to be the one to catch me. I glance at him again, a little longer this time, taking his measure. He's maybe 25 with a curly mop of bright ginger hair and bright green eyes that are much more expressive than he probably wants them to be. I bet he's the type who would have worn mirrored sunglasses to hide his fear back before they outlawed glasses. It's not a good thing, him being afraid of me. Scared is dangerous. Scared makes mistakes, and mistakes get people killed. My mind skitters back to my potentially unlocked loft. The key is in my pocket, I remember. If I was still using the same system as I used to have a while back, left pocket for keys to doors that were currently locked, right one for ones that were unlocked, I'd be more sure that I hadn't accidentally left my home wide open and vulnerable. But I abandoned that system over a year ago, and I force myself to remember it never really worked in the first place anyway.
Easy, says the older cop to his partner.
I can see sweat beating on his umber skin from here, but he doesn't move to wipe it away, keeping his gaze on me. At his side, Ginger is practically vibrating with the need to give chase. I reach the back of the crowd and start weaving between the people. I breathe shallowly. I'll never get used to this smell. Unwashed bodies and barely contained terror. It's everywhere on this godforsaken island. Ever since the aliens knocked out our power, and therefore the town's desalination plant, last year during the fracture. No one except the mayor and her lackeys can afford to waste precious fresh water on a shower now, and no one goes to the beaches unless they have to. When I reach the middle of the crowd, I glance around, trying to map out an escape. Banyan trees line either side of the street here, their knotty limbs spread overhead, twisting together in a canopy that looks like 1,000 interlocking fingers, while thick prop roots dangle down and burrow into the ground. If you look hard at some of the trunks, you can still spot the original tree that's been long since starved by the banyans that planted themselves in their crevices. This street used to be a big tourist attraction because of these trees, or so I've heard. The locals call them strangler figs, my brother told me when we first moved here last summer. I can see why the tourists like them so much.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?